Your Bibles and turn to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. I want to say I appreciate the open door to be here. Thank God for the opportunity. Appreciate the pastor having us come. And I trust that we can be a help and blessing to you. Let me say by way of introduction, I'm glad I'm saved by the grace of God. And I'm glad it's by grace through faith. Hallelujah. That not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I was a 19-year-old young man when God saved me by His wonderful grace, and I've never been the same since God saved me, and nobody ever is. If you are the same, you are the same. And I believe that because I experienced it. Well, thank God for His wonderful mercy and grace. We trust that God will help us during these days. It's a joy to get to meet your pastor. He's never met me. I've never met him. I guess he's seen my picture on a card as the pastor let us come by and stay on our way down to Mexico, and then he got in contact with us. And so we thank God for the open door. We pray that God will open doors, and we trust Him to do that. And so we believe this is an open door that God has given unto us, and we thank God for that. My precious family is sitting down here with me. They go with me everywhere as I'm in the ministry of evangelism and have been for years. My precious wife and I have been married for almost 4 years, hallelujah. And I didn't get married till I was about 31 years old. Most people don't wait that long. Some people should wait that long, and some people wish they'd waited that long. Amen. But if you're not who's settled who you're with, amen, it's too bad. Amen. Hallelujah. And I thank God. You young men better wait on the Lord. And if it's God's will for you to wait till you're around 31 years old, you better wait on God. Because if you marry the wrong one, you'll probably wish you's dead. I appreciate my precious wife. I thank God for her. What a blessing she's been, my two precious girls, and then one on the way in November. Thank the Lord for them. Okay, let's look in 2 Timothy chapter number 3 tonight. And if you found your place and can, let's stand out of respect and reverence for the Word of God. Pastor Harvey and I had talked, I think, on Saturday, and he didn't know whether we was going to start on Wednesday or tonight. And so I was kind of in limbo, and we fellowshiped with the pastor this morning over some breakfast and had opportunity to have some good fellowship. And so I wasn't sure when we was going to start. And then the pastor told me we were. And of course, I've had problems with these allergies, amen, and my voice. I preached all day yesterday hard, amen. But we thank God for how He touched us. So we'll just be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. It may be like a Tootsie Roll. Short and sweet, amen. But my short may be a little different from other people's, amen. But I trust God will help us. We do need the help of the Lord, and we're mindful of that. The Bible says in verse number 1, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form," now notice that, "having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." I want to stop reading there for sake of time and preach on this thought with the help of the Lord. How do we know that these are the last days? How do we know that these are the last days? Let's go to God in a word of prayer. Father, we do thank You, Lord, for another opportunity we can bow before the throne of grace, bow our heads and humble our hearts before You. We thank you, Lord, for your wonderful mercy and grace that you bestowed so freely upon us. And Lord, we thank you for the life-changing power of the gospel. I stand here, Lord, tonight only as a testimony of your grace. Lord, I remember as a 19-year-old young man, full of rebellion, full of self. And Lord, even as many of these men sit here tonight that have served in the military or are in the military, Lord, that was my desire to do that. But thank God you crossed my path and my rebellion broke down, Lord, all those walls that I'd put up. And Lord, I turned to God in faith and repentance. Hallelujah. And you saved me for Christ's sake. And I bless your name for it. I've never got over what God did in my life, and I never shall by the grace of God. Lord, I pray that you touch us tonight to preach. We realize, Lord, it takes unction to preach the Word of God. Lord, I pray that you'd use us in these days. And Lord, we'll thank you and praise you for what you do. Please, Lord, revive the saints of God. And Lord, save precious souls for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. I've never ceased to be amazed about the condition that I see the world in the day and hour in which we live. The world is in an upheaval. Wickedness is on every hand. The Bible says this, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. I got news for you, young lady. Tomorrow is going to be none better. In fact, the world is going to get more wicked than we see today. And I'm not trying to discourage you. We are victims of prophecy. We are living in the days before the Lord Jesus comes back. And I say hallelujah. I long every day for his coming. In fact, I pray earnestly every day for the coming of the Lord. Praying for the peace of Jerusalem. Praying for his soon return. The Bible says the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And I say hallelujah. I'm excited about the coming of the Lord. But as I look in 2 Timothy chapter 3, I see that we are in these last days, and the character of these last days is delineated in the scriptures as we look here. I want you to notice, first of all, the Bible says, this know also, verse number 1, that in the last days perilous times shall come. I know that we're in the last days because of the danger of the times. You know, friend, I think about the days that we're in, these perilous times, and the word mean perilous meaning dangerous, hazardous, full of risk. And I think of the day and hour in which we live. We think about the Twin Towers and what happened on 9/11, amen. And listen, how the world or America grieved over that. But you think of the danger and hazard that we're in, amen. Not just from Arabs and people that are haters of God. But I think, listen friend, how we ought to mourn over the millions of souls that have been murdered right in our nation alone. They mourned over all the thousands of people that, listen, fell with the Twin Towers. And yet millions of babies have been murdered, amen. Sacrifice to the sex god, amen. And listen, it is an abomination in the sight of God. And we're going to give an account to God for that, amen. We are living in days of danger. We're living in days of apostasy, amen. It's apostasy is on every hand, amen. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, that evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. The Bible says they will speak lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. When you sear something with a hot iron, burn away the hair and the hide off of that cattle, that specimen that you are branding, amen. It, listen, numbs it to any feeling
whatsoever. And that's what God is doing in the day and hour in which we live, sir. God is reprobating folk. They don't want to get saved, and more than that, some of them can't get saved. And you can even become a religious reprobate. You can hear the gospel over again, and the Bible says they profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable, disobedient unto every good work, reprobate. Now let me say this. I don't believe you're saved by works, but I believe the faith that saves will work. Amen. Right. I don't believe you're saved by works, but I don't believe you're saved without works. And a faith that does not put, listen, faith that does not put you to work for the Lord Jesus Christ, can that kind of faith save? The answer is no. That's what James 2 says. Now that's what not a lot of Baptists don't believe that. That's what the Bible teaches. And I'm telling you, we're living in a day of apostasy. People are departing from revealed truth. Amen. We're living in days of apostasy. Some shall depart from the faith. Notice it didn't say a faith. It said the faith. One faith, one baptism, one Lord. You're not listening to a mini faith preacher, amen. And there ain't an ounce of ecumenicalism in me. Amen. You ought to excuse me, amen. I know we're a little bit former, hallelujah, but this will save me on dry cleaning. If you want to pay the dry cleaning bill, give him the money after the service. Hallelujah. I'll just save on dry cleaning and go ahead and preach. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, friend, we're living a day and hour where people think it's okay to yoke up with everybody and anything. Amen. But it just is not so. He said they shall depart from the faith, the revealed body of truth in the Scriptures. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm telling you what, friend. We're living in days, I've been in churches, amen, that think Billy Graham's best thing showed up since peanut butter. And that man's a false prophet. That man don't even believe in hell. That man believes there's many ways to heaven. Listen, they've even put that in, listen, Parade magazine. I've seen that years ago. He's not ashamed of that. And if he's not ashamed to tell it, I ain't afraid to expose him. I was preaching in Blountville, Tennessee, I believe it was. I was invited to preach on a Sunday there. And I was preaching and exposing the false doctrine of the day and hour in which we live in. The apostasy and some of the apostates. My father-in-law said, "Didn't you know that they had Decision Magazine in the foyer?" I didn't know what Decision Magazine was. That's the magazine he promotes. I said, it doesn't matter what magazine they had in the foyer. It needed to be told, amen. Because I'm telling you what, there's not many ways to heaven. Jesus said, I'm the way. Not just a way. He is the way. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus said, I'm the truth. Not just a truth. He is the truth. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I am the life. He's not just a life. He's the only life that's worth having. Amen. Thank God I didn't know what life was until I got saved, young man. Hallelujah to God. Amen. He said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And I didn't start living. Listen, the Bible says, and you hath He quickened who were dead in trespass and sin. We're in time past. You walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince, the power there, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, fulfilling the desires of the flesh. And listen, we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And I was on that course. I was in the broad path that led to destruction. But thank God, God passed by my way. Amen. And a gospel preacher, amen. Hallelujah. You say, I don't think you'll be happy about it. Well, listen. If I didn't have no more most people's God, I wouldn't get happy either. But I tell you what, friend, you get saved, it'll make you happy. You may not act just like me, hallelujah, but you'll be happy about being saved. It'll produce joy in your life, amen. Glory to God. I'm telling you, these are days of apostasy. I'm telling you what, thank God for people that still believe the truth. Thank God, brother, for little churches like this that still believe the truth of the Word of God, amen. Still stand for the truth and not compromise the Word of God, amen. And we're scattered all over this country, hallelujah. Even though I'm from East Tennessee, approximately probably 17 or more hours away from here, hallelujah, there's still some little churches. I'm from a little mountain church, amen, and we still believe the Word of God there, hallelujah. But these are days of apostasy. These are days of scoffing. Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Peter chapter number 3. 2 Peter chapter number 3. Days of scoffing. The mockers, the scorners, the scoffers. Oh, they laugh at old time religion. Listen, if you live for God in this day and hour, they'll mock at you, amen. Have you ever been to the street lately and preached? I know many of you may have done that, some kind of street evangelism. And they'll think, listen, you're some kind of fanatic. Amen? Well, they tell me, I was telling Brother Harvey, we was going to have to come by way of Dallas because they was telling me Texas Motor Speedway. And don't worry, I don't go, that's the wrong crowd. I ain't been to the Speedway in years. I'm not a NASCAR fan or whatever they are called now. I don't go places that patronize liquor. Amen, friend. Oh, you say, well, that killed my stuff, amen. Well, you didn't have much anyway, amen. But I'm telling you what, friend. These are days of apostasy and days of scoffing, amen. They scoff at old-time religion, amen. They scoff at the Word of God. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 3, the Bible says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the judgment, a day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as. Now notice, it's a comparison. It didn't say is, it says as. I'm not trying to be a smart aleck, but that's what it says. A lot of times we compare, well, a day with the Lord is as a thousand years. That's not what it says. It says as. It is a comparison. Time, what's it saying? Time means nothing to God. And no man knows the day nor the hour that He's coming. We can see the days of apostasy. We can see the days of scoffing and know that the coming of the Lord is nigh. Amen. But no man knows the day and the hour. The man that wrote 88 Reasons that Jesus is coming in 88, he missed it by a few years, didn't he? Amen. I know it's close at hand. But hallelujah, it pays to be ready. It pays to occupy His coming. But in the days that we live, they're scoffers, they're mockers, amen. I tell you, these people that scoff and mock at the old time way, the preaching of the Word of God, amen, they are living proof that Jesus is soon to come. They're living proof of it. Hallelujah. I tell you what, I'm excited to know that in the day and hour in which we live, that Jesus, I am living in the generation that Jesus is going to come. Hallelujah. I believe that. You know why? The budding of the fig tree. You that were born in the generation when Israel became a nation, amen, and that fig tree budded, Listen, you're going to be living, some of you are going to be living when Jesus comes back.
And I'm excited about that.
I'm thrilled about that. You say, Brother Rose, ain't you discouraged about these days of apostasy and days of scoffing? No, friend. I'm excited that Jesus is soon to come.
And you ought to be excited about that. Hallelujah. I tell you what, it'd do some Baptists good to have a spiritual IV.
God help us, amen. We ought to be excited. We ought to rejoice in hope of His coming. Hallelujah. Just in the hope of it.
I tell you what, friend. By the looks of some people, you wouldn't believe Jesus was coming back.
God help us. We don't look too excited. Don't even bring a smile to our face. Amen. You could at least grunt or do something. Amen. I'm not fussing at you. Hallelujah. But it's exciting to know that Jesus is coming.
They scoff at sin. Oh, they mock at sin. They scoff at sin. They scoff at the idea of an eternal burning hell. They scoff at the coming of the Lord. They scoff at the messengers of God. Amen. But hallelujah, they're living proof that Jesus is soon to return. In the book of Jude, verse number 18, the Bible says this. How that they told you that there should be mockers, what? In the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These they be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. I don't want to be one that mocks at the coming of the Lord. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, friend, we're living in days of apostasy. These are dangerous times. These are hazardous days, amen. Days of apostasy and days of scoffing. But sad to say, it's days of indifference. Days of indifference, amen. We're indifferent toward our responsibility. We're indifferent toward preaching. How long has it been since you moved up when you heard the Word of God preached? How long has it been since you moved anywhere? Some people you can't. We ought to sing the song. It is our theme song. Most Baptist theme song is I shall not be moved. Amen. God help us. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm telling you, friend. The Bible says, 2 Timothy chapter number 4, verses 4 and 5. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of the evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. See, people want to have, listen, they want to have an intellectual itch. Not many people want to hear old-fashioned preaching. They want their ears tickled with some new doctrine. And I'm not against current events or to preach and expose sin. But I'm not. I don't get the newspaper and preach from it. Now, if that's what you're expecting to hear this week, you're going to be seriously disappointed. I'm going to crack open that King James Bible and preach. It's current enough. It's up to date.
Sir, all week I'll work an 8-hour shift in 1 hour of preaching. Amen. Days of indifference. And buddy, what like the psalmist, sometime my heart cried, Brother Harvey, Psalm 12:1, help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth. For the faithful fail from among the children of men. I took a text for that in a Jubilee meeting in Alabama. And once I got done preaching on, well, there was mostly just preachers there. So I guess it was the Lord's will to preach to preachers. So I preached on what it's going to take to be a godly man. That didn't go very well. And once I got done preaching on their television set, and their football, their Alabama football and Tennessee football. Oh, I don't sponsor that stuff. I don't care if you are a Texas Longhorn fan. I could care less, friend. Listen, if I'm going to be against that, and by the grace of God, raise my children in a Christian atmosphere, amen, I'm not going to send them to hell, amen. I'm all the way against it, friend. Amen. Now, if you're going to have revival, and I don't know. Listen, I'm not trying to be a smart elk, and I'm not trying to be brash. But you'd have a real start on revival this week if you've got one. If you turn your television off and your VCR off, maybe you don't have a television. You're watching DVD movies. I didn't know that for a long while, amen, that Baptists didn't have television. They was watching on their computer. God would really help you, amen, if you turn that mess off these next couple of days. Now, you're going to find this hard to believe. There was light before television. And I know some of you really are sorry for my children. I mean, and listen, we try to be consistent about this. When we go in the motel room, first thing I do, I pull the devil's tail out of the wall. Forked tail. And I pull it out of the wall. And I'm trying to instill the fear of God in my children. They go in there and they don't know what they're doing. They're totally depraved. And one of them tries to turn on the switch. I say, no, children, devil out. So we're going to be consistent about it. We don't have one in our home, and we're not going to watch anywhere else by the grace of God. I know I'll curl your ribs, amen, hallelujah. God help us, amen. Oh, my poor children, the poor Rose children. I know some of you feel so sorry. Look at all they're missing, amen. Yes! How many scenes of adultery have they missed? How many scenes of sodomy? I'm not talking about sin to the max either, friend. From what I've seen in some of my relatives where they've had it on when I went in, amen, on the local channels, it's filthy and ungodly. Amen. It's free country. You can do what you want to with it. But by the grace of God, I've chose between God and His only Son. We started out our marriage. We didn't have one. Hallelujah. I thought I'd get a lot of amens there. Amen. Might I order to back up and preach on 31 reasons why an overcoming Christian should not have the idol of television in their home. Serious thing. You know what it'll do? It will cause indifference. We have not had revival since television was introduced to the church. Not a great move of God. You know why? Because we sit in our homes watching the sin and the filth that's pipeline right out of a bottomless pit, amen. And we sit there and wonder why the Holy Spirit's grieved. You cannot watch that stuff and be right with God. And be what God expects you to be. Oh, I preach that everywhere. That'll make you a popular preacher. That'll get you a lot of appointments, hallelujah. But see, I feel in this day and hour of indifference, amen, of calling out to God and saying, help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. Isaiah 59, verse 14. It seems like in this day and hour in which we live, the hazardous days in which we live in, that truth is falling in the streets. Truth is no longer valuable. There's no shame for sin anymore. People don't even blush about sin anymore. I preach in independent Baptist churches, ma'am. And it embarrasses me what I see. Amen. It embarrassed me. We're just... let's put this right here. Brother Harvey will be right here. Hallelujah. It embarrasses me what I see in the average Baptist church. If they do have it long enough, it's too tight. God, help us, friend. These are days of indifference. And if you preach on it, they wonder what's wrong with you. You say, well, you shouldn't preach on what they wear. I'm not. I'm preaching on what they should wear. Amen. What they ought to wear. You're looking at a preacher that still believes Deuteronomy 22:1. God didn't cut it out of the Bible. Amen. And I take it literally. What about that? Amen. But it's days of indifference where truth is falling in the street. Amen. The Bible says in these day and hour in which we live, Ephesians 5:16, we ought to be redeeming the time. Redeeming means to be diligent and active in duty and preparation of our time. Redeeming the time because what? The days are evil. These are evil times. Young man, I cannot imagine what you're going to face. I'll be 35 years old if the Lord lets me live to August. I'll be 35 years old. You thought I was older than that. It's my wife that makes me look old. I'm about 7 or 8 years older than her. Amen. She's making me look old. Hallelujah. Amen. What I'm doing is making me look old quick. I'm telling you what, friend. I'm standing amazed to see how fast we're progressing in the day and hour in which we live in. And young lady, when you grow up, it'll be wickedness overabounding. Amen. The generation we're seeing grow up, young lady, I'm telling you what, they're controlled by devils. They are literally controlled by Satan. Read the book of Revelation. They are literally controlled by spirits of Satan. No wonder they go and traipse into the average school, amen, and shoot people and blow. Well, that's all they watch. Most of these video games, in fact, not all of them, they're a waste of time. Let's go ahead and clean it out first night. Let's just clean out the wheels the first night, amen. And we might have a well of a meeting, hallelujah. But that's all they watch, sir. War games, nothing wrong with that. Amen. You need to stay prepared. I'm telling you what, all this blood and guts, these chickens, and listen, they act it out in the government schools. Redeeming time. You want to be redeeming time. Reading your Bible. I was preaching there in the church that I was in, I come from yesterday, trying to encourage the young people to spend time in the Word of God. Meditating in the Word of God. Memorizing the Word of God. Let it. Thank God, sir. I am glad that God developed, that began to develop my prayer life early. The disciples did not tell Jesus, Lord, teach us to preach.
Right. Yes, yes sir.
They said, teach us to pray. A praying man can take a text and preach on any text.
Right.
I only have one preacher that I know of in my family. He was a circuit rider that traveled up and down the circuit from Tazewell, Virginia, and Bluefield. That's the only preacher I know of in my family besides myself. While they were men of God, they didn't know all that doctrine. They preached all they knew. But they knew about hell! And they knew about telling me to, shh, listen, flee the wrath to come.
Amen.
Oh yes, in this day and hour, we're so educated. And I'm not throwing off on education. And I'm not throwing off on doctrine. You ought to know something about that. But you know, some people make fun because, you know, they wasn't very eloquent. They knew God. They spent hours a day in prayer. Sound too busy? We've got too much to do. That's what I'm preaching about, nobody. I'm preaching about indifference. You think you're too busy, that's your problem. You're too busy. You would think if the church needed anything before Jesus came back, you would think it would be a fervent love for Jesus Christ.
Right.
And as we check out the church ages in Revelation, we see that you would think the church would have a fervent love for God for when Jesus, before Jesus came back. And no, we're living in the days of Laodicea. And the church has purchased a refrigerator. They're either hot and cold, they're a little warm. Amen.
Amen.
You say, I'm not there right there. Because I'm preaching on what you're doing right now. Amen. I may not be preaching on you wearing shorts that you may not be doing right now. I'm preaching on your lukewarmness, amen. And your indifference before Jesus. Days of apathy. You would think, Brother Harvey, that scripture in Matthew was being literally fulfilled when it's dealing with the days, the end times, because iniquity shall abound. The love of many shall wax cold. And we're seeing people's love for Christ wane in these days of... I'm going to say something. We've got used to sin. We have got used to sin. Sin, we got accustomed to it, amen.
Amen. Yes, sir.
God help us. I know that these are the last days before Jesus raptured out of his church, amen, because I see the dangerous times. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. And they're here, dear brother. They're right here. We're living in those days. Dangers on every hand. Listen, you can't go hardly go anywhere. I'm from a small town compared to Dallas, Houston. Kingsport, Tennessee is a very small town. But who would ever thought in the small hick town of Kingsport, Tennessee, you would hear about an individual chopping up two teenagers and stuffing their bodies in storage, amen, because a drug deal went wrong. Who would ever thought you'd hear about that? We didn't used to hear and read about that in the paper. Hear about it on the radio. But evil has spread everywhere. It anywhere you go, it's a dangerous thing.
Amen.
You better stay close to God. We're living in days of danger. And we have to keep our kids at close range. There's babies you them go out a little bit. You've been on that. These perverts will get your kids, and listen, they will do harm to them. Amen.
Right.
Even around the Church of the Living God. Now, I don't know any of you, but you got to be careful.
Right.
I don't try to be stuck up, but a lot of places where I'm on Sunday, if I don't know them, if I don't know the people, I don't see my kids in Sunday school. If you don't like it, you just have to get over it.
Amen.
If I don't know them, I don't send them, amen.
Right. Come on.
Because I don't know nothing about them. I don't know nothing about their lifestyle. I don't know what they watch or what they're watching on television. You do not know. We're living in days that you have to be feared of your own relatives. Just because you raised your children in the house of God. Always taking care of them. Dragging your family all over the place that you're at church at again. You're going to burn your wife out.
Amen.
I'm not being smart though, but you know, and I know some of you understand. Some of our people here the other day said, I guarantee they're not Catholic about me.
Come on now.
I guarantee you that, amen. If I wasn't against flamboyant dress, amen, I'd have wore a flame red suit, amen, in honor of the Pope's death. Because that's where he went straight to hell.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
And if the next adult repent, that's where he's going to end up. My heart grieves over that, amen. But do you realize approximately 800 million Catholics are deceived by that religion?
That's right.
God, help those souls.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
When you live out, you live by living by the Bible, trying to raise your kids in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, correct them. Discipline.
That's right.
Like the Bible says.
Yes, sir.
You gotta be careful, you know, when you visit.
That's right. Come on.
But you gotta be feared. We're living days of danger with Harvey because some of your parents, they say, I don't like how Rose treats his children.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. You realize they can call the authorities without giving any names and can come. The truth, you gotta be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Amen!
Yes, sir. Come on.
Right. See, I've been reading Dr. Spock's book, amen? And I don't believe you ought to correct your children, amen? It's evident your kids are tearing up the church. And mine's not everything they need to be or want to be, amen, or I want them to be, but we're working on them, hallelujah. And it ain't because we don't correct them, hallelujah. We didn't just start today. God help us, hallelujah. We've been working on them since they was little.
Right.
My precious wife, hallelujah. I'll work long hours, sometimes drive the rig in between meetings. And you know, you've got to do what the Bible says. Sister Rose will call me. It ain't working. I say, what do you want me to do? I'm going to pray for you, man. But you're just going to have to do what the Bible says.
Right.
It's easy to get stirred sometimes, amen.
Yeah, right.
You don't happen overnight. You don't train anything overnight. These are days of danger. Days of carelessness. People careless in the work of God. Call for a feeding in the church. Most everybody come. Call for a work day. You come. This nation or anybody comes. Now maybe it ain't like that at this church. But a lot of churches you go independent Baptist, they say they're not Calvinists. And I don't call them. I choose not to call them Calvinists because I'm not.
happen about anything. So I really wonder what a hyper Calvinist is.
Amen.
He said, well, they believe 5 points. That's Calvinist. Leave them points to Dr. Tulip
here. Amen.
But listen, a lot of people, they're not Calvinistic, or they say they're not the doctor, but they all practice. They don't pass out a gospel tract. They won't come help you in a straight meeting. I try to encourage even people out of my local church, just come and stand with me.
Right.
My precious wife, one time I couldn't get another preacher to go, and my wife and my kid sister, I knew I looked like a coy, man. But I was out there preaching the gospel with two women back at me. But you couldn't get another preacher to come!
Amen.
Right. Somebody said, if Rose get right with God, he wouldn't have to preach in the street. I said, you send your pastor a message. If he would get right with God, I wouldn't have to come to his town.
Preach it. Come on, preach it.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
I preach in my town. Hallelujah.
Amen. Come on.
God be the glory. I know these are days before the Lord will come back. Because these are days of danger. These are perilous days. These are days of fear and hazardous days. Number two, I know these are the last days. Not only because of the days of danger, but because of the deeds of men. Now notice what the Bible says. For men, verse 2, shall be lovers of their own self. They're fond of self. They're selfish. And I'm going to say this.
Amen. You're going to be stingy. I'm not going to fuss at you. I'm not going to wish you every night. Listen, if you don't want to give offerings, if you don't like my style, keep your money. God, just leave my name before I come in.
That's right.
And God called me to preach. And if every church quits having me, I will be preaching somewhere.
Come on now. Come on, preach. Come on.
If I did, I would know everywhere I go preaching this. I preach this way. Men love their own selves.
Right.
I wore a flat top for years since I was 16, 17 years old. A fella that sat over across town that he could cut a flat top. I don't believe he knows what one is. So this is the result of a bad haircut. And I've never had a problem with short hair. And I'm looking, listen, fine. And the barber told me the other day he couldn't flatten this no more.
Come on now.
Hallelujah. But it don't bother me so bad. My wife's worried that I'm going to get a straight razor to try to underneath this stick in the bank. I think I'm a neo-Nazi man or something. Thank God helps. No offense. I've been called all kinds of names.
Yes, sir.
Some I can't repeat and don't care to repeat. I'm telling you what, friend, people love themselves. We get hard on the ladies about thinking, amen, but I think a lot of men, they love themselves. They're so selfish, they're so mindful of self. They've got to be the center of attention. They love themselves. They're
right.
Lovers of their own selves. They're covetous. That's a sin that's not preached on very much today. Because it's a sin that a lot of us are involved in. They don't put the clunkers on the front of the car lots. They put the shiny vehicles. The ones you covet after.
That's right.
Covetous! Lusting after what other people have. Maybe their money or their houses or the land or the car or the financial debt. God help us this week and probably give us revival that we would be content. What's the things we have?
Yeah, yes, sir.
Don't be covering somebody else because they're prospering. If you're tithing, giving offerings, amen, over and above giving the missions, hallelujah, God's going to meet your need. Don't get covered there because they got a new suit. Are you ladies because you saw one lady get a new dress and you didn't get one? In the last days, people will be ate up with the sin of covetousness.
Right. Yes, sir.
I was being good to my family. Driving the newest vehicle we ever had. It's not brand new. It's new to us.
Amen.
I say praise God. Hallelujah.
Right.
At about 200,000 miles on the other end, and God provided through a friend, amen, that gave us the collateral that we was able to make the payments. Hallelujah! I know what the sin of covetousness will do. How many of you ever had a 460? You know, like Fords? No, like Fords. No, like an army, like Fords. One like Fords, amen. I'm partial to Fords. Amen. Pray for them if you don't buy clothes. Well, listen, I thought for sure like this brother, the steward, or the attendant, or whoever. And the Lord let us, amen, as we, hey, you know, train our kids later on, have a place for this training, school. We don't want them to be ignoramuses even if we are ignorant.
Amen.
Amen. And you know, I thought I was going to pull it with an 88 F-350. Going. Right covering them doors. And as I was working in labor, young lady, every dolly I saw had my eye. Had my covetousness. So I kept on. I got me a dolly. I didn't know that a 460 would pass everything but a gas station.
That's right.
I tried it back and forth just to get my rig to go to work. And what we never, I take a gas! Right. 2 miles there, 2 miles back, and maybe run around a little bit on the weekend, maybe a tank. I said, buddy, I was glad when that used car dealer, amen, took the bay and I traded for a 9-mile F-250, amen. Now, I'm getting 13 miles a gallon now, but hallelujah, if you do the arithmetic, that's a little bit better than 5.
Amen.
The covenant got me in trouble. And I soon found out, as I had that eye for that item and coveted and lusted after it, and it just wasn't God's will. Sometimes you have to live and learn. You better pray about what things you buy, man.
Yes, sir. Right.
Better be God's will. So you young ladies may be coveting one day, nothing wrong with it about getting married. But you better not get in a hurry.
Amen.
Somebody told me one time, of course I was pretty old before I got married. Kind of mediocre, you know. Somebody said, well, Brother Rose, it's better to marry than to burn. I said, well, as the Lord gave me, I believe, the answer, I said that it's better with God's help to contain than to be burnt the rest of my life.
Amen.
You better take a word of wisdom from a country preacher. Covetousness, amen. He dealt there in Luke chapter 16 about those Pharisees. They were full of covetousness. And he gave that illustration there in Luke chapter 16 before he gave the truth about that rich man in hell. Luke 16, verse number 14, and the Pharisees also who were covetous heard all these things and they derided him. See, Jesus knew their hearts. I preached Sunday morning about the heart, amen. The heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. From the outset, the Pharisees, you could find nothing wrong with them, but Jesus knew their hearts. And Jesus knows your heart. You might be clean as a whistle. But Jesus knows about that apathetic and cold heart. You've got toward the things of God. got to be careful, amen. Thank God for those that have got externals, right? And I commend you for it, amen. But you're going to have to make sure your heart's right with God.
Amen.
Amen. Covetous, fond of silver, money, boasters. Preaching I'm hearing today, Brother Harvey. You think some of these preachers got a message from God since God wrote the Bible? You think they've got some kind of monopoly on the Word of God? I'm going to tell you something, friend. If it's new, it's not true.
Right.
God gave us a Bible, amen. And He meant it for us to preach it, amen. Preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering doctrine. But people today are full of boasting. Same sin that they committed there, the reprobates committed in Romans 1 and verse number 30. It's a braggart. Boasters and proud. This is a boastful generation.
Amen.
I'm going to say something. Every one of us, amen, been saved by the grace of God. I ain't nothing apart from His grace. Nothing.
And I don't turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. I don't believe God gives us a license to commit any sin. Amen.
My little children, these things write to you that you sin not. I guess that means God don't want us to sin. Not even the ones most Baptists say are okay. I'm going to tell you one thing, friend. When you get boasting about that, you have sinned.
Yes, sir.
I would say that right there. Hallelujah. Braggarts! Boasters! Proud. Appearing above others. Conspicuous. Haughty. Blasphemers. Verse number 2. They rail against the things of God. They make fun of the things of God. They blaspheme God's Holy Ghost. I've heard them. I preached in Boston on Harvard Square, right in front of Harvard University, and heard them say just filthy, vile things about God and the Holy Ghost. Blasphemers. Blasphemers. People don't think a thing about saying things about God's men, the things of God, God's Word. They don't think a thing about it. They're disobedient to parents. Thank God for these young people that are here tonight. But in the day and hour in which we live, it's characterized that people, young people, are disobedient to their parents. God knows your heart, young people, and God knows who of you here are saved. And God knows here you that are not saved. He said, as obedient children, not fashion yourselves according to the former lust of your ignorance. As He that which He called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation. God likes people that are saved to obedient children. If your life is characterized, I said, as a lifestyle by disobedience, you don't have any hope in this life, neither in the world to come. You see, you got scripture for that? That's the problem most Baptists have. I do have scripture for that. He that committeth, ETH, anytime you see ETH, it's not a one-time deal. It's a continuation. He that committeth sin is of the devil. How long has it been since you heard a Baptist preach that? I know these church of God and all that. Believe in sinless perfection, that the flesh is ratified. They preach that stuff. I'm going to tell you, friend, when God saved me, God put the brakes on my sinning lifestyle.
Yes, sir.
I no longer desire to live in sin. My lifestyle changed.
Yes, sir.
I put the Holy Ghost. Why don't some people want to live holy? Looks like it did. Got a holy God.
Son. The Holy Ghost dwells in a believer. You got a holy word. It looks like people that says they're saved looks like they're wrong with holy. There's some people you ain't going to get them to live holy. There's some people you ain't going to get them to be faithful to church. You know why? You know church ain't. Amen. I'm just going to quit worrying about beating my head against the wall by some miscraft. There's some people that just need a new birth is what they need.
Amen.
Now help them out. Hallelujah. It helped me out. I made professions at the ages of 9 and 10. And I believe I was sincere about what I knew. But when God had the Holy Ghost at the age of 19 put me under old-fashioned conviction, amen, and broke my heart and crashed my will, hallelujah, and I repented and turned to God, amen, I've never been the same.
Amen.
Oh, the way is so straight and so narrow, sir, that I've been on this way now 15 years. And it's so straight and so narrow, I've never met anybody coming back.
Amen.
There's no U-turns. There's no bypasses. There's no clover leaves. God help us. Listen, this Armenian doctrine makes me sick.
Amen. Come on now.
Amen. And people that say when you preach on repentance and faith that you're preaching a work of salvation, they need to get right with God or get saved.
Amen.
Amen, buddy.
Yeah.
Come on, preach. Come on.
Disobedient to parents. I remember how it was, how I treated my parents. Made professions, amen. Had no respect for authority. In fact, before I got saved, sir, at the age of 19, I was going to go ahead and recruit. I was going to go to the Marine Corps. God help me in my ignorance, amen. But I thought, I said, I'm going to get out. I'm under all this authority. I'm going to join the Marine Corps. When I'd have got out of the bus, I don't
yes, sir.
God help us. God met me, amen, up there in Indiana. God dealt in my heart about my sin, amen. God saved me by His marvelous grace.
Amen.
God put a love in my heart for my parents. Probably even tonight, my parents are praying for me. Hallelujah. See, I grew up and God be the Lord in a home. Remember my dad praying. Family devotions. Oh, I know people say all this legalism, amen. Well, if they think I'm a legalist, then they must be healing.
Amen. That's right.
But thank God for parents that raised me in the house of God. I never knew what it was to miss. For basketball games, soccer games. I didn't miss for nothing. Missions conference. We didn't miss. Thank God!
Amen.
I wouldn't be here preaching to you tonight if I'd had parents, amen, like some people that listen today. If some of these dads didn't have a spinal tap, they'd fight some gelatin!
Right. Come on.
I tell you what we need a revival of, sir. We need a revival of manhood.
Yes.
And I'm not talking about a brasher that jerks his woman up by her head, amen. But somehow be God's man and lead the family in prayer and the Bible. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Love his wife like Christ loved the church.
Yes.
Pray hard about that. I trust she does. Amen.
Amen.
Done it hard enough to crack when she married.
Preach it, come on.
I think the Lord's help.
Yes, sir.
You may think you're on some pedestal. And if you think you are, and you've arrived, I'll get my wife to talk to your wife, and we'll see what kind of Christian you are.
Oh, my. Come on now.
We'll see what goes on down at the house. See, we've all got room to move up.
Yes,
Why in the world would you have a revival service if you didn't think you needed any
revival? It's speaking to parents. They're unthankful. They're unthankful. They're thankless. They're ingrates. Hey, I want to be faithful. I think God's people are the best people in the world. God's people have been good to me. God's been good to me. And He deserves our thanks and our thankworthiness and our praise. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You forgive me if you don't like, you know, me praising God a lot. Amen. I'm just a little bit behind on my praise and I'm trying to catch up.
Amen.
I've been acting this way, sir, ever since I got saved and God filled me with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And listen, there's got to be an initial start. You ain't always been filled. And that's what's missing. We preach a lot of revival, Brother Harvey, but you know what's missing in the people? And we got another cat, Sister Harvey, right? But you know what's missing, dear sister? We preach on all these things, and I'm against it all. I preach on everything I think I'm against. Some things I'm not sure about. Some things are just for preventive maintenance.
Amen.
But you know what? You know what we miss out? We get the negative, we'll get the positive. Yes. These lights up here, I'm not an electrician. Probably some of you men in the military have been trained in that. I know one thing, you get a hole 220, you can blow a hole in.
That's right.
You've got to be careful with it. You better know what you're doing. But it does take a negative and a positive to run the lights.
Yes, sir.
Amen! Yes. So you might have got the negative, you might have got rid of a few things. But are you controlled by the Holy Spirit? What about that anger? What about that haughty attitude you got? That arrogant attitude. I think that's sin. I believe I know the Bible enough to know that that's called sin, son. So what we need is young men, young ladies, parents, grandparents, amen, tonight, listen, to commit their lives, amen, and surrender their all, hallelujah, and ask God to control them. That is the only true revival. Baptist was preaching that before the woman ever derived the core of the charismatic movement.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Thankful. If you're controlled by the Holy Spirit, you'll be thankful. And unholy. A person that's unthankful, they're unholy. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, give me a Baptist piston head nod.
Amen. Without natural affection, hard-hearted toward kindred. Now, it breaks my heart. It breaks my heart, brother, that even, see, divorce, the devil's ground, and marriage to power. There ain't hardly no family that touched.
Right.
Somewhere. And if you're that way, I'm not trying to open wounds, but I'm going to preach what this Bible says and try to tell you in the love of God. I'm going to tell you, friend, there's no natural affection. I've got in my family, so if you've got your family, amen, where people have, listen, bless their kids, bless their children. I watch both of these girls be born right in our home with the aid of midwives. Whether you want to recognize it or not, that cute little bug looks like me.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I love my children. And I don't understand people don't want to leave their children. Have no... The word natural affection has to do with family love. In the day and hour in which we live, we see people that are leaving their children behind, running after strange flesh, and everything is in the passion in the sight of God.
That's right. Yes, sir. Come on.
God, help us. No love for your kindred. Husbands and wives running off, getting chat rooms on the internet. If you've got the internet, amen. I tell you what, you probably do well really consider some things. You really would. They tell me, I don't know, but they tell me there ain't no filter that you can put on it that can keep that filth out. So what I would probably, this is how God's worked in my heart,
You work it out with the Lord. God's work in my heart. Don't give any place to the devil. My outline may not look as good as yours because yours is printed on the computer, and the devil will give you any reason to cut the channel off. So don't get mad at me. But listen, friend, we can get along without those things, without getting in the world. Why? It will get you in a web. Talk about filters. They tell me that cigarettes have filters, but people are still getting cancer.
Amen.
What I'm trying to challenge you better consider some things tonight. You better consider some things. I'm telling you what, friend, I'm going to preach harder against the internet than I ever did against television.
Amen.
It's breaking up, Paul. It's saddened in my heart. It's grieved. As I hear about these preachers, my heart, I don't rejoice in it. The Bible says true love does not rejoice in iniquity. Choices in the truth. My heart is grieved to hear about these preachers that are running off with other men's wives. Running off with people in the church. No natural affection.
Truth breakers. They're liars. They're cheats. They break truces and covenants and engagements. People used to be a man of their word, but a man's word means hardly anything anymore. You can't even trust a lot of Baptists.
You say you trust me? Probably as far as I can see you. That's about it. And I keep my eyes on a lot of Baptists. I keep my eyes open. Amen. You do well to do that, amen, because we're living in a day of deceit.
Truth breakers, they're false accusers. Do you realize this is the same word that is used of the devil? And that's what it means. Devil, a slanderer. They're incontinent. They're powerless. They're without self-control over sexual passions. They're fierce. They're savage. They're bestial. I tell you what, people are acting worse than animals today. In fact, animals, we wouldn't even degrade them. Some of the animals know better. Now, there ain't no need of us breaking fellowship over this right here, but I'm going to tell you one thing, friend. I don't know many testimonies of people that are sodomites that got saved.
You know why? Because Romans chapter 1 says it proves that when they entertain and they do that sin and they live that lifestyle, they are reprobate.
Amen. Come on.
They are a reprobate.
Despisers of those that are good. Hostile to virtue and purity. They're traitors. Word means to give before the other party is given. A surrender, a betrayer. Traitors. They're sellouts. We're going to probably be living in the days where people sell out the church. I'm going to tell you something. We better come to a realization. Before Jesus comes back, we probably will not be worshiping like this. And I'm going to tell you what. Everything that's not real is coming to the surface.
Time will tell.
And there are days. These are days of dangerous where the deeds of men show that they're traitors. Amen. They're heady. The word means they fall forward headlong. They're rash. They're high-minded. That means to inflate with self-conceit, to be lifted up with pride. They're lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. It's not hard what they tell me.
at U2 Stadium, they packed 108,000 people. They don't care if it's cold. They don't care if it's raining. I mean, they'll bring an overcoat. They'll scream and holler as they run that bag of zipped up hair up down a grass, deep green grassy field. But the same people during the winter months, amen, will be so concerned if you have a meeting, they'd be afraid the furnace will quit. Let's sit on the old bushes. You know what they are? People are lovers of pleasure. Lovers of pleasure. Everything's ball. Summer it's baseball, spring golf ball, fall football, ball. It's ball. In fact, somebody said one time, if you throw a ball into the middle of the lake of fire, amen, most people would jump after it. It's always ball. Well, you say, well, it's a bad, it must be, preacher, it must be a bad time to have old-fashioned revival effort. Could you tell me when the good time is?
Yeah.
Because lovers of pleasure, they love pleasure.
Right.
I hate things God love pleasure.
Yeah.
We're at the ATV. I mean, riding on our coon hunt. They love hearing them dogs bark and bay. They love it, but they're too tired. That's why they come to church. Just they can't get there for Sunday school, preacher. I'm just too tired. Worked hard all night chasing cookies. Same people that would get up. I mean, they wouldn't drink. I mean, they get up. They get up. They drive all the way to your state. I'm not against it. I do that when I don't even get a chance. I love deer meat. Thank God for it. Hallelujah. Listen, friend, they'll get up early, climb up that deer stand, sit there freezing cold and shiver. They wouldn't dream coming to the house of God. Now, they'll sit up there in that tree stand, amen, and some of them don't come back all day. I'm not that patient. I'm a man that's got to move. It's pretty heavy, amen.
Yeah.
I've got to lose, amen. I'm not that patient. Some of them take a month. Jug of coffee. And they'll drink and stay there all day. But if the preacher preaches any word an hour or two, oh, that preacher's long-winded.
Come on now.
Lovers of pleasure. If we had a softball game, talking about everybody dressed modest and that boy out here playing softball, hallelujah, the men. I mean, listen, we have a team. Listen, we're talking about going out and evangelizing Galena, Texas, which I'm just too busy. I just got too much to do. You don't realize all the activities I got. We better put the TNT under this. There must be a stump. God help us. Lovers of pleasure. Lovers of pleasure. More lovers of God. Now you say, preacher, most of these people he's talking about, in fact, all of these people he's talking about here are lost. Well, I'm not preaching to the band. I'm preaching to you. And I got to make some application as I go along, but I want you to notice something. He says in verse number 5, I know these are the last days because of the dangerous times and the deeds of men. I know these are the last days because of the denial of the life-changing power of God.
Amen.
Verse 5, having a form. The word form, look at it. It lays, the word lays stress on the outward external. They have all the externals. They have a religious form. Having a
have a form. They have an appearance. They have a semblance. The word means, it's where we get our word, formula. And I'm not against soul winning. I'm not against that. I was out knocking the doors last week. I'm not against that. I'm going to tell you one thing I am against. I'm against all this 1, 2, 3, repeat after me, 4, 5, 6, sure hope it sticks. You know, I'm against that. I've seen that stuff firsthand. I've seen it. And it don't change people's lives. And the reason I'm against it, that's not what God used to change my life. And that same crowd will throw off and say that when you preach repentance, you're preaching works for salvation. I am not preaching works for salvation. I'm preaching what Jesus commanded. One man told me one time, son, he said that message of repentance was meant for the Jews. Amen. Oh, friend, you are ignorant of the scripture. You know God's word to speak.
Amen. Come on.
Jesus said, begin at Jerusalem, preaching all the world.
Right. Yeah.
Repentance. Repentance. It's just like these lights. You can't turn to God until you turn from your sin.
Amen.
Well, preacher, the word repentance is not found in the Gospel of John. Well, the word ain't, but the doctrine's there.
Yes, sir.
Jesus crossed everybody where the problem was at. He dealt with a woman at the well and dealt with her about too many husbands. He recognized all 5 of her husbands. Now that's more than a lot of preachers will do today, amen. And I'm not talking about being brash, but I'm telling you what, he was trying to get her to see, amen, that she was in sin. Yes. He said, the one you're living with now is not your husband. But he recognized all 5. He dealt with the rich young ruler. He didn't deal with him about his marriage because that wasn't his problem. He dealt with him about his money. He said, go sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor that thou mayest have treasure in heaven. Somebody said, well, he had to be willing to sell. That's not what he said.
Right.
He didn't say be willing to sell. He said, sell it. That's what he said.
Yes. Amen.
Now, I'm a little different, Brother Harvey. And I'm not different according to the Word of God, but I'm telling you one thing. When I deal with an individual, amen, and they ask me some questions that see what they're going to have to turn from in order to get saved. Suppose a drunkard, I had one drunkard say, well, I have to give up my liquor and get saved. I said, you will now.
Yes,
you will now! Oh, fast, friend! Yes, you will.
Amen. Come on.
Man, buddy.
Come on.
Oh, you won't get in as many professions. Thank God, hallelujah, the Holy Ghost will convict them and draw them, amen. And if they get converted, they'll get changed.
That's right.
Dealt with Nicodemus. Not on his marriages, not his money. Dealt with his birth. Because, see, Jews, of course, we find in the Word of God that they're all called sons of God. Every one of them. They consider, all every Jew considered themselves a child of God. Every one of them. He said, we've got rights to the covenant, we've got rights to the oracles of God, we've got rights to the sacrifice, we have rights to the temple. We look down on these Gentile dogs. We're sons of God. And they didn't believe they committed sin. Jesus said, if you believe not, I'm he. You think this is straight preaching. You think your pastor is straight preacher. Jesus said, if you believe not, I'm he. You shall die your sins. I'm not alone in this.
He said, there's some of us have come to conclusion, you have got to be from God. This man must, no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him.
Right.
You come to Jesus. Jesus dealt with him not about his marriage, not about his financial well-being. Yeah, that's birth. Birth was all important to a Jew. How'd they get to be a Jew? By birth. If your birth was no good, your religion was no good.
Right.
And he was trusting everything in his birth. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you where God's going to cross you at. He's going to cross you right where you're at. Whether it be your religion, whether it be your profession, whether it be your water baptism, whether it be your drunkenness, God's going to cross you where you're at.
Sir.
Jesus didn't give everybody the same deal. He crossed them where their problem was at. You know why? Because Jesus knows there's a lot of people that all they have is a phone. You know, before I got saved at the age of 19, you know what I had? A phone. I told you, I've made profession. I never miss church. Nothing. I know some Bible verses.
And I read
four minutes. I read the Bible through four times. As old timers say, from kever to kever. Before I got saved, I was made to. Didn't hurt me none.
Amen.
All I had was a heart. I died in my sins. I went to heaven. For all the outward factors, for the most part, I had a few standards. Now, there was something I was rebelling against my parents about. I could have told you about my standards. There's people today. Do you realize, ma'am, all these people we just preached on, heady, high-minded, blasphemers, boasters, everyone disobedient to parents, that's who he's talking about. It's talking about the day and hour in which we live. People in churches, all they have is a farm.
Man.
It's all they got. And heart, disobedient to parents, blasphemers, proud, they're hidden. High-minded. If that form comes,
amen.
I had debated with. I'm not talking about. I'm not talking about Methodists. I had debated from the scriptures with independent Baptists that debate with me about the life-changing power of the gospel. I did not say you will. You got a perfect standing in the Lord Jesus Christ. I understand that. I understand the position of sanctification. I'm going to tell you one thing. You will be different when you get saved.
That's right.
You have more than a form. You have more than a formula. All these people in verses 2 through 4 have a form. But what do they do? They deny the power of God. You know what they deny? They deny the life-changing power of the gospel. Sometimes a young preacher can be bold. Sometimes God will help me to be brash. God help us not to do that. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. I was asked by a pastor years ago. Of course, we debated this many times about when God saves a person, they repent, will their life change? And I'm not ruling out growth in grace. We've all grown. Hey, every one of us, we didn't just arrive right after we got saved.
Amen.
Nobody.
That's right.
And I'm going to tell you something, friend. He said, "Brother Rose, you don't think hardly anybody in my church is saved." I said, "You're right. I don't think hardly anybody in my church is saved." He told me in his office, it couldn't be much over a year ago, he said, "I believe a lot of people in my church do not know the Lord." What do they deny? They deny the power thereof. The word deny means to contradict, means to refuse. They refuse to believe that when God saves an individual, it changes their life. There's more than just an outward change. It does an inward change.
Amen.
So no conviction, no conversion, no change. I know what some people say. He said, "Brother Rose, while you're waiting on the Holy Spirit, I'll go out and lead many people to Jesus." I'm going to say something to you. Without the Holy Ghost, you won't lead anybody to Jesus.
That's right.
Man, and I'm telling you, I believe in witnessing. I believe in personal evangelism. I've preached on the street many times. I believe it. But I tell you what, friend, I want people to have more than a form. I want them to experience what God gave me when He saved me. Hallelujah. And how it changed my life. Thank God I've never been the same. You know what the Bible says? He says, "Dear brethren, from such turn away. From such turn away." And I'm going to tell you here this evening, for God is only Son. If all you've got is a form of godliness, you better turn away from that crowd. You better turn away. I tell you what, if all you've got is a form, son, death comes calling. Your soul and your body is going to enter the chasms of hell. The largest corridor in hell is the religious corridor.
Amen.
And I'm sad to say that Baptists in the last 50 or 60 years has helped populate hell. A lot of these Baptists, I is one. I'm going to tell you something, friend. You know, people say, "Well, you know, it's easy to be saved." I would agree, if the Holy Ghost is dealing with you and drawing you, if you'll turn to God, hallelujah, God will give you the faith to believe. I agree with that. But I'm going to tell you what. How easy is it for you to die? From what you hear on the radio about Miss Strivo or whatever her name was, amen? Listen, that lasted 13, 14 days without any nourishment. It's what they say. With every drop of energy in her being, she tried to survive, even without nourishment. When you get saved, sir, it's a death. Is it easy to die? This flesh hates to die. And when I'm saved and I turn my back on my sin, I die to the old life.
Amen.
And I got more, man, than a form of godliness. I got the life-changing power of the gospel. I've never been saved. I've never been the same. And you'll never be the same. Get saved. How do I know these are the last days? Dangerous days. Perilous times. These men indicate it's the last days before Jesus comes back. You will deny all life-changing power of the gospel. Devil, not intact. church. He's making people religious. Now, that kind of preaching makes me nervous. You better examine yourself. We better have some preaching that starts people examining themselves.
Yes.
See if they're in faith.
Right.
You better not guess about it.
Right.
Better more, be more than, well, I hope I'm saved. Hope I make it. I'm going to cut it to God.
Right.
I'm going to cut it to God. You better know what you're saying. It's good to know.
Are you saved tonight?
Yes, sir.
Is all you have is a form? Outward, maybe. I mean, it may, nobody could tell. There's been people in meetings gone past that were, the pastor was shocked. I'm not talking about confusion. Bible preaching won't confuse you. Bible preaching will convict. Bible preaching will cause you to examine yourself. Bible preaching will cause you to get in that Bible and search the scriptures.
It took Bible preaching to show me my need, and I thank God for it. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this open door, the opportunity to preach the gospel another time. Thank you for this pastor, this church. And God, you know the need of everyone that's sitting under the sound of my voice in this meeting house tonight. I pray that, Lord, you would deal and draw. I pray that, Lord, your perfect will would be done. I pray, Lord, for some of the saints of God that maybe has become cold and complacent, calloused and carnal, that God, they would make the first move, because revival surely rests with them. And God, I pray that, Lord, maybe someone without under the sound of my voice that's never been saved by the power of God, that, Lord, the Holy Ghost would deal with them and save them for Christ's sake. And Lord, we'll thank you and praise you for what you do. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name, we do pray. Amen.